Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is the Board of County Commissioners is considering impact fees. Impact fees, or mobility fees, are one-time charges paid by the developer to pay for improvements that the new development necessitates, such as the roads, water, sewer, schools, parks, and so forth. Do you support impact fees, or should taxpayers pay for these improvements, and why?
Good question. Gene Valentino, former county commissioner for District 2, back when it included Perdido and Inverarity Island. Doug Underhill beat him in 2014, and he was hosting this forum for the District 4 commissioner candidates at Marcus Point Baptist Church, last week? Week before? I don't know. I finally got around to watching. It was very interesting, actually. Walker Wilson, who is one of the candidates for the county commission seat.
I oppose impact fees, but I'm not yet sold. And here's one of the biggest reasons why. If you'll go back and look up, and I'll send this to Ms. Brown, the sheriff of the neighborhood, but the recent Supreme Court case that was voted 9-0 in Sheets, El Dorado County. In my mind, we got to see a little bit how this is going to play out with some different municipalities, cities, and counties around the country to see, you know, what this test is that these counties and cities are going to have to meet to put impact fees in place. They've got to be able to show that this development and the impact fee are correlated to the direct impact of what's going to happen on that surrounding community.
By the way, the Supreme Court case wasn't really about the underlying test for whether impact fees are going to be allowed or not. It was much more about, and directly was a question of whether put in by the Board of County Commissioners, what you would think of as a Board of County Commissioners, or not, needs to adhere to those tests. But we are still kind of an open question about whether the Supreme Court might take up the basic question again of whether impact fees or what kind of parameters have to be on impact fees. He's generally right that it's a case a lot of people have been paying attention to because they want to see how it turns out, because the way it turns out might affect whether we can have impact fees here. But then he goes on, and here's where this got really interesting to me because, you know, Walker, I don't know, he gave some ideas for what might be done a little bit differently that I had never heard anybody offer before, and I'm always fascinated when people bring new ideas to the table.
What I'd rather explore in the interim would be, you know, can we dedicate a percentage of the new ad valorem revenue that will happen after development is put on a piece of property, and now the value of that property has increased significantly because it's been built on. Can we, as a commission, say we're going to dedicate X percent of that to go towards the improvements that need to be made because of the impact that's happened?
So the more I think about impact fees, the less they make sense to me. I'm not totally against them. I'm willing to be persuaded. But the more I think about it, the less it seems right to me. Typically, people tend to think of them as a penalty for the person who's building a new build because they're putting stress on the infrastructure, and therefore they ought to have to pay to compensate for fixing or alleviating that stress. That's kind of the general idea. But the point that keeps sticking with me, actually two of them. One is people who, especially because of our laws regarding homestead exemptions and property value increases, in Florida, if you move here from somewhere else as opposed to, you know, moving into a place that you used to live somewhere else here or living in a home, the amount of property tax you pay is extraordinarily less if you lived here before. Whereas if you're new or you're buying for the first time, your property taxes are really high. You pay on the full value, especially in this inflated housing market where those of us who bought homes before the inflation hit, you know, we're paying property taxes as if it's 2015 or 2016 or some like close enough to that, whereas everybody else is paying, what, two or three times as much. So why should people have to pay two or three times as much in property tax and also pay an impact fee? They are already paying much more than their fair share of property taxes. So what he's saying is, okay, kind of take that fact for granted. Can we not carve off a slice? I don't know, 20%, 30%? I mean, he didn't give a number. But can we figure out a slice of the property tax value coming off of these new homes that is at an inflated rate because of the housing price rise recently? And can we not just take that and put towards the infrastructure that hasn't been properly prepared for those new builds. See, now I hate property taxes to begin with. I hate pretty much everything about them. But given the reality of property taxes, that is a much more acceptable solution than putting an additional penalty on top one time, especially because this would be recurring money. Right? And, you know, roads, they have a weird thing. You have to replace them every once in a while. And so the idea of creating a... He's almost like... He's not quite saying this, but he's kind of saying like the Dave Ramsey envelope plan for county budgeting. You know, 20... Again, I'm making up this number. But, you know, 20% of the property taxes that come off of new builds, and I think you could probably make the argument for all, you know, all construction, it ought to just go straight into road maintenance. And then we use that where it's necessary. Again, that makes sense to me. But he had another observation that I thought was quite good.
I also like to look at empty lots. Again, let's take, for instance, the one on Findlay Road. If the county could get to a place where we could say, here's an empty lot, this is what it's zoned for. Let's take X percent of the ad valorem revenue on an empty, undeveloped lot and put aside for in case development does come, we've now got some money for that project, and we're collecting it from that property owner off their property tax as we go along, and we're storing it off to the side so that we've got some funding to do something with when the development may come.
Now, it's not a lot of money that comes off of empty lots because the property value is pretty low compared to a developed lot, but what's been happening to all that money so far? I mean, especially if you know that it's zoned for development, why wouldn't you escrow basically the property tax money coming off of empty lots in order to create the infrastructure that would let those lots be developed into their best and highest use according to the zoning? Which has not been done, because instead the money coming off those lots just gets spent on everything else. I mean, what does an empty field cost the county? Nothing. So they're pure profiting off of it to use for other things. Well, maybe it would make more sense to think about future infrastructure needs and use that money coming off of these empty lots in order to prepare for the possibility of developing those lots according to the zone. I mean, it's sort of like, once you think of it, it's obvious, but we definitely don't do it that way, right? 617 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are driving on North Palafox Street this morning, you can expect to see a little bit of a slowdown at the intersections of Tahar and Fairfield there. And going all the way, slowing down traffic a little bit to Cervantes. And traffic building up on Bayou Boulevard heading westbound this morning. If you are approaching 9th Avenue, you can expect to see some there. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner at Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to this conversation among the District 4 County Commissioner candidates, Ashley Hoffberger. She says she's against impact fees for reasons.
I am against impact fees. I have not heard one single person say, housing in my community is so affordable and everyone should move here because it's just easy. Housing right now is incredibly expensive. An average teacher in our community qualifies for low-income housing. And that's not because our teachers are significantly underpaid, although they are. It's because housing is so expensive. And if we're going to add impact fees to that, it's not just the $10,000 that we're adding as the impact fees. It's the finance cost that the developer puts on it. And then they turn around and they sell it to the homeowner, and the homeowner has to finance that as well. So by the time you're done through the life of that impact fee, it's up to $20,000. The county only got $10,000.
Yeah, I mean, both are fair concerns. Obviously, one of the immediate problems with impact fees is the increased cost that goes to the new home purchaser. And the second, as she mentions, is, you know, if you roll that into the front end, then you've got financing costs. And over time, the county only got 10, but everybody had to pay 20 in order to finance the, I mean, you know, that very understandable. She also said something similar to what Walker was saying about planning for development.
I want to go back to the land development code. If the land development code was more transparent, it should not be a surprise to the county on what's going to be built there. We need to be building the infrastructure, knowing what's going in on that piece of property. So as a county, we need to do better for preparing for the future and giving our kids a place where they can have affordable housing and they can raise a family.
See, this is striking me more and more as the cry for impact fees, the cry even for concurrency to a degree, is only a byproduct of the county commissioners failing to do their job over the long haul. Like, you know what the zoning is? You know what the future land use is? You know where it looks like development is going to happen? Or even if you don't know where it looks like it's going to happen, if you invested in infrastructure in the places where you wanted to have it happen according to a plan, you could make it more likely that it would happen in those places, and then you could have prepared for it by creating the infrastructure so that it wouldn't be overburdened once those homes plop down on that plot of land and you're like, oh God, how did we see this coming? You're right. You know, now I think there's some truth to the idea that the growth in both of our counties has been so fast and furious that it's hard to really prepare for it at all. But we tend to think about the problems being caused by the demand for housing and new builds and the builders. Okay, maybe. But if the county commissioners in both counties had done a better job thinking ahead and planning and, you know, and of course their staff, okay, thinking ahead and planning for where is growth coming and where do we want it to come and what can we do to facilitate that and how can we invest in it ahead of time with the money we're making now off of property taxes so that then when they come, it's not overburdening everybody with this new demand. Like, you could have actually had kind of smart development all along. And now we're playing catch up and fix the, you know, the boat that's sinking while it's sinking instead of thinking ahead about how we can prevent this problem in the first place. Buck Mitchell, for his part.
Impact fees, certainly, you know, when a big development comes in, there are things that the taxpayer should not be responsible for. And even setting aside some of the ad valorem, you know, is still the taxpayer's money paying for it.
Yeah, but it's the taxes being paid by the new builds, particularly, is what Walker was saying. But okay, go on.
You know, it does probably need to be more on, you know, a case by case on larger projects. But I think impact fees, you know, make the developer, you know, be true to the project.
And there's some truth to that. And, you know, concurrency is a different flavor of impact fee, right? Concurrency is, you know, the idea of requiring the capacity for the new thing to be in place before the new thing is in place. And, you know, you could say it's a stylistic difference, but I think it's not. It's a matter of whether you throw a one-time fee in there and hope for the best or whether you actually make it happen before you allow the building to take place.
I think they have to understand, you know, roads and water management, you know, you come up with an idea, it sounds great, but how is it going to impact the neighborhood? How is it going to impact the people that have lived there for 50 years?
Okay, sure.
So I do think impact fees make developers be serious about what's going on. They make them come to the table with a good plan. And but I do not think that the taxpayers should pay for that in any way.
I think what he means is the existing taxpayers should not be paying for the infrastructure for new development. Again, I understand that perspective. I think it's a fairly common one. I think my question back to that viewpoint would be, should the new construction have to pay any of the costs to maintain the old infrastructure? You know, should somebody who builds in Cantonment have to pay for the roads in, you know, Warrington? Or, you know, by scenic? Because you could make the same argument, but they do right now. And why should the new people have to pay for the old stuff? Well, because we all share in the cost of all of these things because in some degree, you know, if you live in the city and you drive up to your friend's house in Cantonment, you use the roads to get you there. Everybody values or benefits from all of these roads being in place. So I don't think the idea that the, you know, the old people shouldn't have to pay for the new people in any way. I mean, that's, we all have to pay for everything because we all have the access to everything and we all benefit from that interconnected network of services, whether it's, you know, storm drains preventing flooding or whether it's traffic on which the Ubers and the, you know, DoorDashes and your kids who go to work at the, you know, the restaurant they use. So, you know, I don't think this, you know, it's their fault, therefore they have to pay kind of mindset is really the one that we ought to be using either. But I definitely am leaning much more in the direction of, you know, the reason we have these problems is because the people who have been running things for a while have not been running them well and not planning ahead for this stuff like they should have been. 624 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you want to understand all of this stuff in a more comprehensive way and make sure that somebody who does understand how this stuff affects your home prices and your resale value and all of that, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they are just great across the board at every step of the process, helping you buy or sell a home. When it comes to selling, they understand the details, like how you photograph it, how you stage it. I mean, seriously, they have a specific photographer that they use because that person is great. You know, because how do people shop for a house? Online. Through what? The pictures. So good pictures, good results. Mediocre pictures, you get what you pay for, right? You get, you know, kind of what you hire, what the excellence is or not. So understanding all of that stuff is key to what they do, and they bring a game all the time. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. Traffic on the five.
Why would you this Father's Day celebrate the legacy of shooting sports and essential survival skills passed down through generations?
Power outages that can last for days. And now, cooling your home to keep people and pets comfortable.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Power
I
to
threw
keep
him
working
off.
From
he
home.
Was listening
Freezer
to my cadence
protected.
Instead of thinking about
security cameras power. Go to
thegeneratorguys.co. There we go. All right. Well, we'll come back to the ads in just a second. You want to do traffic on the five?
Yes, I do.
So exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Super super fun. If you are traveling on Bayou Boulevard this morning going westbound, you can expect to see a lot of buildup right before 9th Avenue. And on North Palafox Street going north and southbound in between Tahar and Cervantes. Other than that, looking very good. Pace and Milton, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up going southbound on the US 90 bridge there. Coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, a little bit of traffic building up right before the Naval Lives Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you approach the 3 mile bridge. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Why would you want a home generator from the Generator Guys? Top reasons include lighting during power outages that can last for days, cooling your home to keep people and pets comfortable, power to keep working from home, freezer food protected, security cameras powered, medical devices backed up, and humidity controlled to keep black mold from growing. All reasons to get a free, no-obligation quote from your local company. Forrest Jordan & Associates, The Generator Guys. Go to thegeneratorguys.co.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, you get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye, 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
The whole damn world is just as obsessed with who's the best dressed and who's having sex. Who's got the money? Who gets the honeys? Who's kinda cute and who's just a mess? And you still
favorite songs of, like, you know, post 2000 kind of music. It just, I love storytelling, I love the modern punk sound, and Bowling for Soup is just fantastic. 629 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning. David?
Well, a jury has been seated in Hunter Biden's federal firearms case. 12 jurors and 4 alternates were selected in Delaware yesterday. Voters heading to the polls in 5 different states today. There's primaries being held in Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. And an elderly woman in the hospital, Andrew, after being gored by a bison at Yellowstone. Park officials say the woman was lifted off the ground by the animal's horns. It happened over the weekend at a lake there in the park. The 83-year-old woman was taken to a clinic and then flown to a hospital in Idaho.
Well, I know it's an awful thing, but look on the bright side. Assuming she survives, great story.
Well, yeah.
I mean, great story. Assuming everything turns out okay. You know, pictures, video, you know, you can tell your great-great-grandkids about that story.
And,
so let's hope she does, obviously.
From what it says, she's doing okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you think, oh, my God, that's terrible. Well, you know, she gets out of the hospital. How many grandmas you know that got gored by a bison and lived to tell the tale?
only
just
one.
Just saying, you know, those kids have show and tell for the rest of their lives, right? So we tend to think about this as a negative. I'm just, seems like a great vacation. You know, you ever go on vacation, like, nothing happened, we went out to eat. That is not a problem for this mom, grandma, great-grandma, great-great-grandma.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Biden is set to take executive action on the border.
The White House has yet to publicly confirm their plans, but several reports, including from the Associated Press, say this executive order would shut down asylum requests between ports of entry once illegal border crossings hit 2,500. The border would only reopen once this number drops to 1,500.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. Opening statements begin at 9 a.m. Eastern in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial.
Special Counsel David Weiss, he's going to go first here, the prosecution's team. Then it's Hunter Biden's lawyers, likely lead defense attorney Abby Lowell. 45 minutes aside is what we're thinking they'll get. Hunter faces three felonies in connection with a 2018 gun purchase.
That's Fox's Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It looks like a beautiful morning right now, 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola today. The Okaloosa County deputy involved in the death of senior airman Roger Fortson was fired last week. Fortson's mother says that's a step forward, but she says criminal charges are also needed in the case. Attorney Ben Crump, who's representing the family, says questions remain about the entire situation that led to that fatal encounter.
He was in the apartment by himself with his dog, Chloe, video chatting with his girlfriend. There was no domestic dispute between a male and female. There were no children in his apartment. And so they had the wrong apartment.
The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office concluded the actions of Deputy Eddie Duran were not objectively reasonable. However, the criminal investigations are still being handled by the FDLE and the State Attorney's Office. Pensacola police are investigating the circumstances behind a fire in the Cordova Park neighborhood that happened over the weekend. According to the News Journal, a car was parked at a home on Hallmark Drive, which is near the home of Escambia County Clerk and Comptroller Pam Childers. That fire started after 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. PPD's Mike Wood says an arson investigation is ongoing. They'll be adding some more patrols in that neighborhood as well. A 39-year-old man charged in a shooting that reportedly stemmed from an argument over a tree limb. According to jail records, Derek Sewell is charged with attempted homicide. The sheriff's office says at about 9 o'clock yesterday on Capitol Boulevard, two neighbors were arguing over tree limbs, which allegedly led to Sewell shooting his neighbor in the leg.
What's up there, bro? That goes on your property, huh? That's on your... Tree! Right, come on. All right, let's go. All right.
That is audio from a Ring camera, which was obtained by Channel 3. It shows Sewell throwing portions of that tree limb in the neighbor's direction, followed by the neighbor swinging at Sewell. Sewell then retreated back into the house to retrieve a gun. The victim transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Well, if you are a boater who goes out on the Santa Rosa Sound or possibly a Navarre or Okaloosa Island beachgoer, this following message is for you. Eglin Air Force Base officials have announced increased fines for trespassing violations at the Santa Rosa Island closed test area. That stretches west of El Matador Condominiums in Fort Walton Beach to Navarre Beach. The previous fine was $65. That fine is now increased to a minimum of $250 for a first-time offense. The U.S. District Court modified the fines for violations of laws and regulations enforced within the base's boundaries. According to a release from Eglin, the 96th Security Forces Squadron will be issuing citations to trespassers, and if you're cited, you'll have to appear before a judge or pay the $250 fine. It is 6:35 at News Radio Pensacola, and Jimmy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
We are looking pretty good on our roadways this morning. If you're heading north or southbound on Palafox Street in between Jordan and Tahar Drive, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic. And Traffic building up downtown at every major intersection, North 9th Avenue and Chase Street specifically. And if you're getting off the interstate, taking the Garden Street exit, you can see a little bit of a slowdown that way as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Fresh from Florida. The best part of summer is already here. Locally grown Fresh from Florida watermelon. Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Right now, 74 in Pensacola. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing some spotty showers and thunderstorms through the morning and afternoon. 30% chance of rain overall. High near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Spotty rain chances continue for our Wednesday with some thunderstorms possible. 30% chance of rain. High 89 degrees. Overnight Wednesday, temperatures dropping near 74. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Thursday with a high near 88. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton, 74 in Pensacola. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Hertz is getting a new financial chief. The rental car company announced today that Scott Harrelson will leave Spirit Airlines, where he's been chief financial officer, to take that same role at Hertz later this month. He'll replace Alexandra Brooks, who's departing Hertz, to pursue other opportunities. The new CFO is coming in as Hertz deals with widening losses tied to the write-down of its electric vehicles. Hertz shares today tumbled 5.25%. Dr. Pepper is moving on up. Coca-Cola's signature brand Coke is still the most popular soda in America by a long range, but there's now a new runner-up. Beverage Digest reports that Dr. Pepper has inched past Pepsi as the number two soda brand as of the end of 2023. Coke captured 19.2% of the soda market in the U.S., while Dr. Pepper and Pepsi were both at 8.3%, but Dr. Pepper technically a smidge ahead. Stocks today, mixed. The S&P 500 up 5 points. The NASDAQ ahead by 93. The Dow lower. That's Your Money Now.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please.
This Father's Day, celebrate the legacy of shooting sports and essential survival skills passed down through generations. At Jim's Firearms, they're proud to support dads who teach their kids not just how to aim, but also how to respect and enjoy the great outdoors. From expert advice to top quality gear, Jim's Firearms has everything you need to make this Father's Day unforgettable. Jim's Firearms, where tradition begins and legacy lives on. Find Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, at the back gate of NAS, and also online at jimsfirearms.net.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
new tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Jimmy, you ready to have a fight? I feel like we're about ready. Not you and me necessarily, but let's, you know, ready to do something that's going to be controversial for people in their lives.
Always.
You seem a bit uncertain. Do you not trust me? You're not sure yet?
You know what? No.
No,
I don't.
Not yet. I feel like I'm full of trickeration. All right, here we go. This is on TikTok, so you know it's reliable.
Okay, cool.
Okay, that's definitely not going to make people upset. Here goes. This is Mom on TikTok. Ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm not returning my shopping cart. And you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, off.
So, context, backdrop. There's been this ongoing conversation across media about how the returning of the shopping cart or the refusal to return the shopping cart at the grocery store or the box store, pick it, doesn't really matter. But, you know, you typically don't have grocery carts at, like, the shoe store. It's okay. So grocery store is the one we know the most. The refusal or laziness or whatever, arrogance, of people who don't return the shopping cart to the stall, the corral, is the one key indicator of whether they are bad people or not. Because there's no such thing as a virtuous person that doesn't do it. There might be bad people who do it, but because it costs you nothing, gains you nothing, I mean, costs you a little bit of time, but doesn't gain you anything, you know, there's no incentive, there's no, like, enforcement, okay, other than the occasional dirty look from somebody else. How dare you? Okay, so this woman gets on TikTok and says the following, and she has somewhere in the vicinity of 6 million reactions because people are basically saying that she's a horrible, terrible, no good, awful human being, and, you know, she needs to turn and in her humanity card.
She said she wasn't going to leave her kids in the car. Just
that's right.
Okay, that's right.
So now, when I first saw this, I mean, I saw the story and then I went and watched the video because you always want to go to your source material. So I went and watched the source material, and my first thought was, I understand that it's, you know, it's either inconvenient or you might think it's risky or something like that. But this is why you should do what Andrew recommends, which is, quick test, Jimmy, you haven't been here long enough to hear me say this on the air, so we'll see if you figure this out. There's only one place to park in the parking lot of a grocery store. It's not near the store. It's next to the cart return.
Ah, I see.
Because if you do the geometry of it.
Yeah. That's very clever.
It's the unless you know you're not going to need a cart, and half the time you think you're not going to need one, you get one anyway, right?
Can't believe you had time in your schedule to test this.
You don't have to test it. You just think it through. The amount of, you know, if you think about where you walk with the cart, if you're next to the cart return, you are walking the least possible amount. You're basically going from your car to the store and from the store to the car, and that's it. If you are parked somewhere else and you go back to the cart return to pick, you know, and I mean, you know, there, you could make the argument that there might be a little bit longer distance in some cases. But basically, that saves you the problem because, you know, you're always going to have to take the cart to the return. Might as well park near the return instead of parking near the store.
I just like hearing people's arguments against doing any minimal walking.
Basic human.
Extra work.
Yeah. You know, or like, you know, I'm employing people. No, you're creating inefficiency and profit loss for the grocery store where they have to employ somebody in order to pay for your laziness. Okay. But there's more to the story. Okay. So what was her basic thing? Was the kids, right? That she seemed to be implying to the kids, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, park next to the grocery, next to the cart return, right? Okay, so then she goes on a subsequent TikTok, and she says,
it's May 31st, and about 6 million people have freaked out over me not returning my shopping cart because my kids are in the car. So I want to give you some statistics. Last year, 265 children were abducted in parking lots in America. Half of those were sexually assaulted. As a single mom returning your shopping cart, you are prime for a predator to watch and grab you. In many states, it's actually illegal to turn your car on and walk away. Many comments said that they would turn the car on, leave the air on for the kids, and go return the shopping cart. Well, in Los Angeles, in one particular parking lot, that's at least a 12-minute walk. You could go to jail.
12-minute walk? Okay, fine. But no, she's right, by the way. She's right that it is, in fact, illegal to leave your car unattended with, you know, running, whether there's kids in it or not. That's actually, you're not supposed to do that. But she says, okay, that's dangerous, right? She says it's dangerous to leave your kids in the car unattended, even at the relatively short distance to go to the grocery cart return. We'll come back to this in a second because this becomes more interesting the more you listen. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are driving north or southbound on North Palafox Street in between Tahar and Jordan Street, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up. And Brent Lane and Palafox Street intersection, some traffic heading eastbound, backing up Brent Lane a little bit, but clearing up as you pass the Palafox intersection. If you're coming in from Pacer Milton, you guys are looking good, seeing a little bit of traffic building up at Woodbine and a little bit of slowdown happening across US 90 Bridge, but clear as you get into Pensacola. And Gulf Breeze Navarre clear all the way westbound on 98. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Cart Mom, or no Cart Mom, or no, put the cart back in the stall, Mom. Anyway, on TikTok.
There are reports from the Bureau of Justice saying 10% of crimes occur in parking lots. If you get to a parking lot, you should look at the lighting. You should look at security guards. You should look at how the parking lot is laid out. If it feels safe, go return your cart. If it doesn't feel safe, trust your gut, trust your intuition, and keep you and your family safe. It's not worth the judgment you'll get.
Now, here's where this becomes to me kind of fascinating is what's your image of her? Just this kind of semi-fearsome or fearful, semi-entitled mom, you know.
Yoga mom.
Yoga mom. Okay, fair enough. Would it matter to you if I told you that she's actually a psychiatrist who specializes in, you know, forensic and criminal psychology?
Nice.
So that she studies the criminal mind. And that, at least according to her, she has interviewed, presumably in the conduct of her professional life, many pedophiles. And she has an extent. I don't want to play it because, frankly, I think it kind of it winds up being more of a how-to than a warning. So I don't want to. But she talks about how child predators will, like, study you as a victim and wait for the right opportunity. And pay attention to a lot of details that you would take for granted in order to learn, you know, who's better to victimize, right? And so now I think she's approaching the world a little bit too much from her professional background of, like, that's tainted her view of everything. But she's basically saying that, look, if you don't think predators are real, you know, if you don't think that crimes happen in parking lots, if you don't think that people don't get carjacked or assaulted or mugged or women or whatever, right, you know, you're just not paying attention to the world. And so she's coming at it from that perspective. Does that change your perspective at all on her?
Well, you know, this reminds me of a conversation that I was having with one of my patrons the other day at my bar, where he said his son is a police officer, and he's always warning his dad to not go downtown. Just don't go to downtown Pensacola.
Okay.
Because the amount of crime that he sees. But everybody else just, you know, we all go downtown.
No big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Right.
And it's just his perspective is a little bit skewed because he's been trained to look for
everything's
dangerous.
A threat.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is a danger. That's right. And, you know, of course, we know from statistics, Pensacola is actually very safe. But still, if you're in it, you mm-hmm. see it that way. And I think that's part of the issue here. But it was interesting when I was checking my own reaction to her is, oh, my God, not this lady. And then I'm like, well, she is a doctor. She talks about, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. And if you're talking about moms taking care of kids, I mean, I'm willing to accommodate that as at least I want to hear you out. I want to take you more seriously because you're not just being, you're not lazy. we know that for a start, right?
And I wasn't trying to negate the validity of her concern. But so
I still kept thinking about it. And then we got a bunch of texts here. I'm going to read some of these because they're very good. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody here says, my wife and I always make a point of asking anyone with kids if they'd like us to take the cart so they don't have to leave the kids alone in the car. That's kind. Of course, then, you know, like in my case, you know, single, unattached, male. Hey, ma'am, can I help you out? You know, it's easier for some people to make this offer than for others. I'm going to come back to this one because, somebody says, does she use a cart to get her kids to the car at home? Well, no. I mean, but that's the point is, are you at risk in the parking lot or are you at risk in your neighborhood? Less so in your neighborhood, but the point about leaving your car running or all of that, that's relevant. If you can return it, it's good as long as the car isn't blocking traffic or the parking spot. I think it's okay. It's not a big deal. Clearly, mom is a lazy, angry Karen. These are 437-1620. These are texts coming in now. Y'all are being so kind. We always park near the cart return. I agree. It's less walking. I always park by the cart return. Good, good, good. Somebody here says, your kids can't walk? You know, it depends on the age, right? The problem about parking next to a shopping cart is that some people tend to push the cart because they think the accuracy is so good, and they let it slide in the corral, and sometimes they miss.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a victim of a dent, okay?
I'll admit to being overconfident in my ability to...
Well, but I feel like you're the kind of person that would ride it out. I feel like you don't push it and let go. You push it and ride it.
Oh, yeah, ride it out. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right into disaster. Somebody here says she's a hoity-toity type. Just park where you want. Carry some pepper spray in your purse and be aware of your surroundings. Somebody here says exactly the state of park next to the corral. Started doing this when our kids are babies. Somebody call cart narcs. I like that. We park by the cart return on purpose. It alleviates both of the concerns. Correction, not a, just a lazy, angry Karen. She's a lazy, angry, attention-starved and hoping to become an influencer on TikTok. P.S. You're right on about the best place to park, but don't tell everybody. Oh, too late. Okay. Here's a thought. You ready? Here's my thought. If the problem is the kid separated from her with the cart, right? That's the issue. That's the challenge, okay? I still say park by the cart return, then you don't have that challenge. But if what she's doing is, unloading the cart groceries and then and unloading the kids into the car, then taking the cart to the return and then coming back, well, how did you get the kids in the cart to begin with? I mean, I don't know the answer, but I assume she went to get the cart from the return and then brought it over to the car, so she already left her kids alone in the beginning. Or, alternative number two, she gets the kids out of the car and transports them to the cart, in which case, you could do that process after returning the cart just as easily. So whatever she does in the beginning when she arrives could be done at the end when she departs. So this is all much ado about nothing. She's just not thinking it through very well.
Here's another point of view.
Go on.
Well, with the amount of money that stores are saving with self-checkout, I think they could have one guy in the parking lot at all times getting carts before AI makes self-driving carts that bring themselves back to the cart return.
Well, I mean, soon enough, you're just going to pull up and they're going to throw the groceries in the back and you leave like now. I mean, that's just not even going to be allowed to go in the store because then you don't have to shoplift anymore. You know.
Oh, true.
See, I mean, all this is coming, I figure. Oh, a couple more texts here, 437-1620. Let's see. If somebody has more children than they have hands, give them some grace. Agreed. Man, when the kids outnumber you, that's a new situation. Gee, they pay people to put the carts up, no need to take somebody's job. Again, you this is the old, like, if you break windows, you're creating jobs. Well, no, you're just destroying things in the universe. If you leave the carts laying around, you're creating jobs. No, you're just making the grocery store have to pay for somebody to do the task. I suppose this wouldn't work at Aldi. Unless you're just willing to throw out a quarter every time.
I don't know.
Is it Aldi you got to pick? You put a quarter into the cart, and then you got to take the cart back to the corral at the front of the store.
Is that right?
Yeah, they very much have externalized the cost of employees to the worker bees that drive there and shop there. If she's a doctor, she can afford grocery delivery. Problem solved. what you see at work changes your view sometimes, opening your eyes to things that others don't worry over. That's absolutely true. I work in an emergency room where one motorcycle accident and the damage they cause, I won't allow motorcycles in my family for that reason. And this this last comment, this lady is just trying to be virally relevant. So there you go. Just, you know, I thought it was an interesting kind of, there was more depth here than just the standard, yeah, I'm lazy. They, you know, it was kind of an interesting nuance, especially with what I think is her quite high level of familiarity, unfortunately, with, you know, people who do horrible things to children. 6:55 on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Cantonment, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic built up on U.S. Highway 29 South. That is happening until about 9 Mile Road, clearing up south of that. And coming in from Pace and Milton, a little bit of traffic building up on Woodbine and Chemukla at their respective intersections with U.S. 90, but clearing up as you get onto the U.S. 90 bridge. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 when guests from Florida Power & Light will be on the show discussing programs and resources available to its customers. From recent rate reductions and storm preparedness efforts to tips on how to save energy and other community initiatives, the experts will discuss FPNL's commitment to their customers and our community.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Go, go, Gadget! Necktie!
Somebody made kind of an interesting comment about the whole grocery cart lady who's scared about her kids, you know, and also worried about getting a ticket if she leaves the kids in the car or leaves the car running, whatever. Somebody said, if you're worried about the police giving you a ticket for leaving the car running with your kids in it, doesn't that mean that that parking lot is safe enough to have cops in it? So you don't really need to be so worried. You know, an interesting observation.
That's another controversial topic.
There you go. Somebody else says, we need to train bears. I assume this is Gulf Breeze, to retrieve the carts. That way Karen can feel very safe because she'd rather encounter the bear than the dude. That makes sense. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is erupting. It had been experiencing an uptick in seismic activity for about a month. The last time an eruption happened there was December 1974. Risks of heart attacks in certain people apparently go up during presidential elections. There's a new study out of the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session, and it says that those with certain genetic traits like anxiety or depression have a significantly higher risk of a heart attack during the election seasons.
Have you watched the kid yet? The kid in Congress?
Oh, yes.
Entertaining?
Yeah. Hilarious. Great.
There's a representative in Congress is giving a speech on the floor, and his kid was behind him making faces the whole time on the camera. It's adorable. It's on our Facebook page. You got to go watch it. Funny, David?
Oh, it's great.
Very funny.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.